in the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We meditate today on verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's verses 1 through 6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of all, dear friends, and especially you, dear Adam, pick a sport, any sport. Let's say that you show up one day at the head office and you want to get into tryouts. Better yet, let's say you and I go together. We show up and knocking on the door. We want to try out for this team. Professional sports team, you and me. They take one look at me and they just laugh. He's a grandpa. What's he got? Look at Adam. Size you up a little bit and they start to say something and you just smile. And you hand them a letter. They stop long enough to read the letter and it's from their star athlete. And they're saying, you got to give this Adam a chance here. The guy can vertical jump 8 feet and hang there. He's got the speed of a gazelle. He's got the instincts of a tiger. He's got everything you need for this team. You got to give him a shot. You know what? You might get in. Well, I just have to wait outside because you got the letter. It's called an endorsement, right? Sports, business, an endorsement from somebody that's trusted can go a long way. But an endorsement letter is not always written on paper. In fact, you, Adam, are our endorsement letter. For your parents, this congregation, this ministry, you are a letter. An endorsement letter that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 3, 1 to 6, where he tells us that you are an endorsement letter, our letter from Christ, that's written by God's Spirit on your heart. Written on the heart. Ah, the problems in the city of Corinth. I've often said that if you could go to a store and buy congregational problems, the whole store would have labels on all the items there that wouldn't say made in America, wouldn't even say made in China. It'd all say made in Corinth because they had every problem you can imagine. Very talented congregation, but really kind of full of themselves. They're arguing constantly about who's in charge. Sounds like churches, doesn't it? Who's in charge? I want to be in charge. I want to be in charge. So they're arguing on. And when problems come up in the congregation, who do they blame? They blame Pastor Paul. So in 1 Corinthians, he writes a rather painful letter to them as their pastor to pull them up short in the name of the Lord. And apparently between 1 and 2 Corinthians, he got through. Because when you get to 2 Corinthians, he's still defending his ministry, but it's comfort and peace that he speaks about. So here's Corinth, on the isthmus of Corinth, the Corinthian Gulf, and the ships in those days would pass from the Aegean Sea to the other side of Greece through that little canal that they put there. So it was a seafaring city, and then they could get into the water and then go on to Italy. It was a shortcut around some very dangerous straits, sailing ships. You just want to take the safest, fastest way. But Corinth was the place where Paul was writing, and he writes to them about this endorsement. He says, "You are our endorsement." When I look at this, I think about how, you know, your natural reaction. Let's say you got some neighbors and you've been trying for the longest time to get to know them. Every time you talk to them, they just blow you off. They're just obnoxious. And you finally get to the point, say, "I don't need this." And you just walk away and stay to yourself. Or you could even be, you know, a boss at work, somebody in charge of people, and you've got somebody with an attitude, and no matter what you do, it's just, there might even be a situation where you would say, "I don't even need this company," and you walk away from that, and that's the natural reaction. What amazes me is the Apostle Paul here, how the Holy Spirit works on his heart, so he doesn't get angry like that. He channels it in a real positive way. Now, you got to understand what he's saying to them, that this is not apostolic genius. This is the Holy Spirit's power. When he tells the Corinthians, "You are our endorsement letter," he's telling the ones that are his biggest problem, you know, "You are the ones that show that our ministry is effective." How do you argue with that? When somebody gives you a compliment like that, what are you supposed to do? Say, "No, Paul, you're lying. We're really not." See, they got to listen to this. They have to hear it. And he says, "You're written as our endorsement letter, written on the heart." So in those first three verses of our text, he says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? This is the criticism he's getting. If a pastor speaks up for the gospel ministry, he often sounds like he's just, you know, self-serving, speaking up for himself. So Paul is going to go right at that now and disarm it. He says, are we commending ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you going into the sports camp, and we got to have a letter of recommendation just to get in? Is that the way it is? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. They can tell you are Christians by what you say and what you do. They can tell you are Christians by the way you make your love and your kindness felt to people around you. You don't want to be that obnoxious neighbor. You want to be the neighbor that people can go to when they need help, and they always know that your door is open and that you're ready to help them because you step up. And that's the way you Corinthians are, see? He's getting their hearts. You've got the Holy Spirit written on your hearts. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, if I was sitting here as Adam, it would be running through my mind, how can I be an endorsement letter for my parents and New Life Lutheran Church in their ministry, for my Sunday school teachers, my Lutheran day school teachers, for the pastor? How can I? I mean, Adam, we might look back at the past year and your very excellent scores on all the tests that I gave you. We do written tests here rather than grilling the kids up in front of the whole congregation. They go test here, and Adam's scores were real high. But then, Adam, you know God's law, and God's law says perfect. And okay, they weren't perfect scores, so. Or we could just look at how this year in particular, you said all the memory work, you answered all the questions, all the catechism part, but then you might come back and say, "Well, Pastor, usually I was the only one there." And that would kind of remind me of when my son Joel liked to say, "Dad, you're my favorite dad." And then he'd give me that smile like, "Yeah, and you're my only dad." You know. But you know where this is coming from. You know what these scripture readings were all about, that the Lord told us through Isaiah how when we feel our sin and we think about being in the throne room in the presence of God, what he has for us is, look, this has touched your lips, the word of God. It's taken away your sin. It's atoned for. And then when the Lord says, "Who shall I send?" in the joy and gladness of a grateful heart, you say, "Send me, Lord. Whatever you've got, send me." It's what the Lord was talking about in Romans. When you have learned to call God your Father, your Abba Father, because your dad is not the only dad you've got. You have a heavenly Father. And even when we earthly dads fail miserably, you have a heavenly Father who never fails you, who will love you for all eternity and has made you his own in baptism by the Spirit of adoption. You are his, a co-heir of Christ, to receive eternal life as an inheritance, not because you earned it, because you can't earn an inheritance, if you're willing to suffer with Christ on this side. That's what he said, co-heirs with Christ, if we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. See, you know when you think about being an endorsement letter on the heart, what it was like for Nicodemus to come at night. He was very much into this stone-cold religion of thou shalt and thou shalt not, thinking he could keep the Ten Commandments chiseled in stone, you know, written by the finger of God. And the Lord Jesus had to show the Pharisees again and again, as he shows the Pharisee inside our heart, no, you can't do it. The law was not given for people to make themselves righteous. The law was given as a mirror to show us our sin, and you know that. But you also know that the Lord promised through Ezekiel, I will give you a heart of flesh. When I start to take God's word for granted, or my work for granted, or my family, whatever blessings of God, and I'm not thinking about what an awesome blessing this is, I remember that stone-cold heart that I have by nature, and the Lord's promise through Ezekiel, I'll give you a new heart. David prayed for that in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. And it's that new heart, that soft heart, that says yes to God and his forgiveness and his mercy in Jesus Christ. That's why you're an endorsement letter, not because you were born like the rest of us with a stone-cold, dead heart, but because the gospel, the good news of forgiveness in Jesus, has given you a new life so that you've been born again by the water and the Spirit. Now you live. You live in Jesus with a soft heart where it's written in the grace of God. You've been made alive by the new covenant of pure grace. June 1st, dating all the way back to the 2nd century AD, has been celebrated in memory of a certain Christian in both the Western Church and the Eastern Church. A Christian who was actually accused by the government of being an atheist. Strange. But he was one of those who was born to pagan parents. They were not Christian. And he had it all. He got the greatest education. His parents died and left him everything. He had riches. He had education. And yet when he was walking on the beach one day, he just felt very much like a king who had it all in the Old Testament. If you remember the richest, wisest king who ever lived, Solomon, he had it all too. Solomon goes on in this letter called Ecclesiastes, an Old Testament book, where he's talking about having all these riches and having all this wisdom, and people would come to him and ask him all sorts of questions. And he even says, you know, he had all the pleasures of a human being. He talks about his harem. I had the harem too, he says. Every pleasure that a human being could desire, he had. And when he writes, according to the Holy Spirit, he says, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. That's what happens when we human beings finally get everything we could ask for. All the time, all the education, all the money, all the pleasures of life, and you will come to the exact same conclusion on the other end. It's meaningless. This young man on the beach felt that way. Nothing makes sense. This is going through his mind. Everything is nonsense. I've seen it all. But it's all nonsense. How does this all work? And as the story goes, it's a very old story. But the young man in about his 30s met an old man walking along the beach who was a Christian. And as they got to talking, the old man heard the story of the emptiness inside. This young Justin was his name. And the old man told him something, and just the simplicity that turned the lights on for him. This is it. Jesus Christ is Lord. All this, what you're trying to fill your heart with, will only leave you empty. But when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, the Master of your life, it fills your heart. It gives you joy. It gives you peace. Justin, by the grace of God, believed that. He started telling everybody he could. He became the earliest Christian apologist, and that's a word that means the defender of the faith. He would debate anybody, anytime, publicly, privately. He did this so effectively that there was a man in Rome that got really ticked off about being beaten in public debate by Justin. And so he reported Justin to the Roman authorities, who hauled him into court with several others and accused him of being an atheist because he didn't believe in the gods of Rome. He believed in this God that you can't see or touch, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit God. Who's that? They couldn't figure it out. So they accused him. They condemned him. They executed him. Justin Martyr. June 1st every year is the Feast of Justin Martyr. Remembered from, I believe the year was 160 AD, all the way down to present time, that he was so sure that Jesus Christ fills your heart and mind with forgiveness and grace and peace with God, this new covenant, that he was willing to die for it. And the harder the authorities tried to stomp out the faith, the more it was like pouring water on an oil fire, it just spread the flames. More people stepped up, the more that died. That's the confidence. And that's what Paul is writing about for you, Adam, today, and for all of us, that we're made alive by this new covenant of pure grace, that such confidence as this is ours, through Christ before God. When you know Jesus this way as your Savior, you can come into the presence of God and know that you're always welcome. He always smiles to greet you. He's our Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. So not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves. I mean, that's honesty, right? I don't have anything in me that I can offer God. But it's all Jesus. It's all my Lord Christ. He has made us competent because our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers or servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What was chiseled into stone at Mount Sinai, the hard letter of the law, will always condemn us all. What's put on our hearts in the good news of sins forgiven is the Spirit giving life to you, so that you know a joy and peace that you can remember all the way back to when you were baptized as a baby. My earliest recollections are always of Jesus as my best and truest friend. I'm so grateful my parents did not wait till later, that I've had that assurance all my life, and you've had that too. Jesus is your brother, and God is your Father, and the Holy Spirit continues to sanctify you in this new covenant of pure grace. The old covenant was Mount Sinai. If you behave, if you obey, then God will bless you. And we could never get past that if, that little word if. But there's no if in the new covenant. The new covenant says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. To all sinners, that's all of us, your sins and iniquities, the Lord says, I will never remember again. Why? Because they're washed away in the blood of Christ. If God would accuse you again of sins that he said were already forgiven, he would be dishonoring his own son. Think about it. There's no double jeopardy with God. When he takes your sins away, he would only honor Jesus by saying they're forgiven and forgotten forever. And he'll never replay that tape. So you can stop playing it in your mind and heart too, right? Lord, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways, but according to your love, remember me, for you are good. Don't run that tape, Lord. Delete it. Throw it away. And he's happy to do that because your sins are all forgiven for Jesus' sake. That's the new covenant. No if in the new covenant. It's a one-sided, pure gospel, pure forgiveness and grace covenant where God does it all. This week, I found a key on the counter. I usually put that key on this lanyard around my neck when I leave the house, just in case after a bike ride or a walk, the garage door doesn't open, especially if I'm the only one home and there's no one to open the door for me. Well, finding that key on the counter was one of those times when I just had to shake my head and say, oh yeah, good plan, Buster. The key was on the counter and I had the lanyard around my neck. How much good would that do me? I get back to the house and can't get in, and I reach for oh my goodness, no key. And there it's at. You know, this is so much like so many people that get confirmed. It all looks good, and it's an exciting and wonderful time, but if you lose that key, you've lost everything, and it doesn't matter how good your life looks to everyone else or the false sense of security that you have on yourself. You can go through your whole life and everything opens and everything goes fine. But finally, to that moment when that door won't open, you better have the key. You know the key. Our Lord Jesus told his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the key. Having the church membership like a lanyard around your neck might look fine and good to everyone else. But without Jesus, you've got nothing. You need him as your Savior and Lord. This picture from ancient Corinth, what it looks like today, tells a pretty awesome story of a town and a city of intelligent people like the congregation there who were all stuck on themselves, all had these great ideas, and they built monuments to their gods and these temples and these wonders of the ancient world. One earthquake, centuries pass, and those civilizations and those cities crumble into dust. But God's promise stands like the mountain in the background. Though the earth be shaken and the hills be removed, he says, yet my covenant, Adam, my covenant of peace for you will never be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. The mountains stand, and even when they're all gone, God's promise will stand. Everlasting life in Jesus Christ. He is the key to the fact that you are our letter of endorsement, that everybody can read and see. You are that letter. But Jesus is the key. Don't leave home without it. Amen.